Meditation is from our gospel lesson from Luke chapter 18, specifically the explanation from St. Luke, but they understood none of these things. The saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. This is our text. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, our living Lord and Savior, I hope I can get the inflection correct. I'm going to try to follow my being fact that I was born in Georgia. It might help a little bit, but the phrase goes something like, surprise, surprise, surprise. Of course, that phrase was made famous by Jim Nabors playing Gomer Pyle on Andy Griffith from 1962 to 1964. I wonder if you realize that after that, Jim Nabors got his own show, the Gomer Pyle Show, Gomer Pyle USMC, that ran until 1969. And so for the better part of a decade, we could turn on our TV sets and hear that phrase, surprise, 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 just about every single week. While we don't find the word surprise in our lesson for today, we do find a surprise. And I think that this surprise is one very much intended by Luke, the author of our text. By now, our text, we are very, very close to Jesus going to Jerusalem and him being arrested and tried and crucified on the cross. And because we are so close to that event, we have in the very beginning of our text for today the third and final time that Jesus is going to warn his disciples about his death and crucifixion. And this time, Jesus adds much more detail than he had in previous warnings. Luke records Jesus saying, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise." Now, for some time now, the disciples have been following Jesus. They saw him change the water into wine. They saw him heal people of every kind of disease. They saw him cast out demons. They saw him walk on water. Peter, James, and John even got to see the glorified Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And not only all that, but they also got to hear his teaching and every single sermon that he preached. They heard the reports that he teaches like one and with authority. They saw all of this with their own two eyes. And unfortunately, all of that was going to come to an end with his death. In the very next chapter in Luke 19, Luke records Jesus' entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday so that we know that Jesus was warning the disciples about his arrest and crucifixion. It's not far off at all. But there's a problem, a big problem. The disciples don't understand what Jesus is talking about. It's not that they don't believe that he's Messiah. That's not the case. They had declared their faith and belief in him a number of times. But the problem is that they thought he was a different kind of Messiah. You see, from early age, early on, they had always been taught that this Messiah was coming to save them from the Romans. They were expecting an earthly king and not a heavenly one. They thought that the Messiah was going to be a political figure, a great warrior general type, not someone who would come to be a servant of all. And so when Jesus told them about his death and his crucifixion, they just couldn't wrap their heads around that. In fact, Luke writes very clearly, this saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. So the fact that God hid the depth of what Jesus was saying from his very own disciples is because they just really didn't know what his mission and ministry was about just yet. When Pentecost comes, when they receive the Holy Spirit and it's time to share the message with the whole wide world, then yes, they would totally understand. But right now, they don't need to understand. They just need to be warned what was going on. That's the first part of our text. Then comes a big switch in the narrative. And so we leave the discussion about Jesus' real mission in his life, death, and resurrection, and we start focusing on a blind beggar. Jesus and the disciples are traveling to Jerusalem, but they have to go through Jericho to do that. And as they're traveling, they've got this nice crowd around them, and they're making some unusually loud noise, so much so that the beggar sitting on the side of the road asks, "What's going on?" And he is told that it is Jesus of Nazareth who is coming by. And so he starts yelling out at the top of his lungs, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me! Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me!" And the people tell him to quiet down. When he does, he starts even crying louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And so Jesus asks for him to be brought to him. And he asks him what he wants. And the blind man says he wants to recover his sight. And so Jesus just says, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately, he can see. And we are told that he followed Jesus. And he glorified God. And all the people that saw that miracle gave praise to God. It's an incredible event. So do you see the surprise that Luke intended for us to see? The surprise is that the disciples who have been following Jesus and saw all those miracles, got to see, hear all of his sermons, they don't see the true nature of Jesus' mission and ministry, that he has to suffer and die. But this blind beggar sitting on the side of the road, he knows who Jesus is. He knows what Jesus' mission is all about. He didn't come to take over Rome and kick them out of Israel. Jesus came to serve and to save the lost. The lost people, like the blind beggar. God's plan of salvation is a huge surprise for us. And I know it shouldn't be a surprise because it's talked about all over in the Old Testament. But sometimes we have a blind eye to what is obvious and is actually hard to see. I mean, who would think that the God Almighty, the creator of the whole entire world, in fact, the creator of everything that exists, would send his one and only Son down to earth, not to destroy the place because of our sin, but to have that Son serve as our substitute, to serve as our substitute, to keep all the commandments for us perfectly, and to serve as our substitute to die on the cross and to suffer the very pangs of hell in our place. That's a surprise. We're sinners. That's not a surprise. We deserve God's wrath and punishment. That's not a surprise either. But the idea that God would send his son to die on the cross, to wipe out our sin, to wash us clean, to grant us eternal life, that is a huge surprise. Why would God do that? By nature, we are spiritually blind, spiritually dead, and enemies of God. So why would God sacrifice his son? Well, the answer to that shouldn't be a surprise either. The answer is simply because he loves us. You know, all too often we forget the words of St. John in 1 John 4:8, where he says simply, God is love. And notice there that it doesn't just say that God is loving. It doesn't say that one of God's many qualities is love. It doesn't say that God is lovable, but it says that God is love. Therefore, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that all who believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And my dear friends, that is an amazing surprise that God would love us, dirty, rotten, sinful creatures. So why is it that some of us older people can remember Gomer Pyle and his catchphrase, surprise, 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 and yet we can't remember that our God is love, who sent his one and only Son for us? Well, when you find the answer to that one, let me know. But God does have so many surprises for us in the Bible. And one of the greatest surprises is that God sent his Son down to earth so that we could have a wonderful home in heaven, all because of his great, abounding love for us and his mercy for each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God